Welcome, friends, to the Enduring Gifts of Marvin Gaye podcast, brought to you by your 26-year listening veteran, Jessica. Join me as we celebrate these enduring gifts, the songs of Marvin Gaye. In each episode, I will share insights about the music and recount life experiences tied to it. I'm hoping to inspire you to take a first or your 500th first listen to these songs that are truly the enduring gifts of Marvin Gaye. What time is it? It's Marvin time. Marvin space time, right? Like, this is the time where we just come into Marvin space and we just make it all about Marvin. You know, I hope it is a believe it or, well, I hope it's not a believe it or not type of scenario, but for me too, guys, the time that I make these podcasts really is the only time that I get to be all about Marvin time, right? Like, I don't get to live all day, every day in the space of this podcast, right? Where like just every single thing all day long is about Marvin. That would be too much. You know what I mean? So it's not like that, but that's the reason why for me too, like whenever I get ready to hit record and I get to just spend an hour and a half or so talking about Marvin, this is Marvin time. This is Marvin space time. And so it's coveted, right? It's a very cool thing. We are going to talk about the song, I Want You. Let's go. Let's go. But first, I can't even help. I just have to say, my car is such a bad bitch, dude. Oh my God. Oh my gosh. For a quick second, I'm going to tell a little story about my car because it's my papa. My papa gave me my car. I know that my papa found my car for me and then he made it available right where I live. Because my papa was a mechanic. I told you guys that. Bad at what he did. Town was named after him. Head of heavy machinery, right? Like the head mechanic, black man, head mechanic. HMIC, you know what I'm saying? For this huge construction company that built a town that he's named after, or that's named after him, he's named after. The town is named after him. So, you know, just growing up, my grandpa was always out in his garage because by the time that I met my grandpa, right, he was retired, but he still ran his own little business out of his garage. And when I stop and think about that, like my grandpa was so bad, dude. Like he really did have his own little business. Cause I'd go out there and I'd check him out doing his thing. He'd always be on his little sliding, mat that he'd get down on. And with my grandpa's permanently broken leg like that in his brace, he could maneuver himself onto that little sliding mat and then just be underneath the car in like quicker than I could probably do it right now. But my grandpa was bad because I would always see him. He was one of these people where if you like in cubicle situations, right, you can just kind of go cubicle to cubicle and you can just tell different people's different filing styles. And do you ever just trip or are you this person who your cubicle is a hot fucking mess. Okay. What the fuck is really going on in your space, dude? Okay. My grandpa, he wasn't that extreme, but his stuff was just kind of really organized in his own little way. He knew where things were, but only he did, right? But he had a little desk. And so then when he would be done with somebody's job, he would go to his little desk and he would open up a drawer. That's where he had his little invoices. And then he would just be sitting up there itemizing his invoice and totaling up with their, my grandpa was so bad, dude. That is bad as fuck, right? When you have your own invoice, dude, and then you're just writing up what the cost of your services are. Yes.
So I would sit there and watch my grandpa write up his little invoices, and I'd sit there and watch him work on people's cars. So a huge thing. My grandpa always just was talking to me from the time I was little about the time I was in turn 16, because he wanted to get me a car when I turned 16. Like, that was very important to him that I would get a car right when I turned 16. And, you know, I've already told you, like, the women in my family are just super duper spoiled, and just, that was, we know my family's background. So, but I guess, like, when Mustangs kind of came out in the 60s, right? Like, my grandpa was always a car man. My grandma was telling me this about him, I think probably after he had passed away, but she was just explaining, like, pretty much back in those days, because this was how my grandparents were rolling, dude. Like, my grandparents were paid, you know what I'm saying? Because they were out grinding and doing what they needed to do. I've already told you the whole story. They owned two houses in their lifetime, bought one house, then went and bought another house, kept the other house, always had that as rental income. And so, you know, they both had good jobs. And I guess, like, every year, my grandpa would go and buy a brand new car. And, you know, he was getting some of those very first Mustangs, dude. My dad, I remember my dad telling me about how, cause him and his sister are only 2 years apart. And so about the time when she was able, 16, able to get a car, my grandpa got a car for the two of them, and they just kind of shared the car. But he got them a Mustang, a sick Mustang, dude. So that was their car. And so my papa was always telling me that he wanted to get me a Mustang. And so here I finally turned 16, and it was time to go looking for a car. And my papa went through the classified newspapers, and he found a Mustang that he wanted to get for me. And so it was between him and my parents, right? Like, my parents were buying it, but he was a part of the process because he was going to check out whatever car I was going to end up getting. But my papa, bless his heart, this is a very important story to me. So like I said, he did the work. He went through the classifieds and he found the specific Mustang that he wanted us to all go take a look at, because this was, he liked the way that it sounded and he wanted to take a look at it under the hood. So we drove, it was a far away from where we lived. And it was me, my stepmom, my dad, and my papa. And we all drove out to where this car was for sale. Some dude was selling it. A white guy dad was selling it, and he was talking to my grandpa, and he was like, oh yeah, this is definitely a girl's car. And it was a white Mustang. It was like a hatchback. It was an 80s Mustang. So it was that 80s style of Mustang. And I can, at this moment, and actually for a long moment since, appreciate how fucking sick that car was. But at that time, I did not, at 16, I did not have the ability to have an appreciation for how muscly this car was. It was a muscle car, and it was, you know, the hardcore hatchback 1980s Mustangs, dude. Like, I just didn't, I had not been educated on, you know, Mustangs a lot, you know what I'm saying, up to that point. You know, I got these stories much later and after and stuff. So in the 1980s Mustangs, I hadn't, you know, really ever had my eye on and just been schooled on, like, how sick those cars are and classic and shit, right? So this thing, it was in nice shape, and it was, like I said, all white, and my papa liked it, and he wanted to get it for me, and he was excited. And it was just, my stepmom and I were sitting back in the car, and my dad and grandpa were talking to this guy and looking at the car. And I just didn't want the car. And I really was worried about, I didn't want the car. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, I don't want that car, you know? And here, people, let me tell you what I ended up getting. So instead of this white, sick muscle car, I ended up getting a little, Ford Escort instead. That was more, you know, how stressed out I was as this little schoolgirl, teenage girl. I couldn't handle a car that cool. You know what I'm saying? So the little Ford Escort, that more describes my personality at that time, right? Like, that was just more what I was able to handle. But I just saw the disappointment on my papa's face when I didn't want the Mustang. And he didn't make me feel bad about it. He was just like, oh, okay, you know? And, but I felt bad. I did feel bad. And then, you know, whenever I was finally able to appreciate it, and I think it was after he passed away, like how fucking cool that car was and how fucking cool my grandpa was that he wanted me to have that car. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how sick his taste was. I felt bad, you know, I just felt bad. And then, so it was in high school on my own, that my taste got turned on to Mustangs, because it was then in the late 90s, the style completely changed. And this dude that I worked with had one. He had a convertible, Mustang. He had bought it brand new. So it was this new style. And then I was just like, oh my gosh, I gotta someday get me a Mustang. And so it was a couple years back is when, yeah, it's only actually like a year and a half now that I've had my car. So I guess it was about a year and a half back. It was like the beginning of last year. I was at this place where I should have paid off my car. I financed my car and paid on it for 10 years, which is, Susie Orman would be wringing my neck. I watched her one time and she was like, don't ever let me hear you about financing a car for longer than 4 years. And at that point, I had had my car financed for like 8. I started out with only a 5-year loan on it, but then some of my personal circumstances changed. And right at the fifth year, at the beginning of the fifth year of my loan, I was able to finally refinance it. It was the first time that I ever qualified to refinance it because my payment was steep. For 4 years, my payment was steep every month. I had a SUV and I kept asking, I would ask, can I refinance this? You know, this, and they would always tell me no, because I was asking the people that I had got it from. And then all of a sudden I randomly got this thing in the mail. They said, hey, you qualify, you pre-qualify, call us, give us. So I called them and they 65% a month lowered my payment, which at that particular point in time was very crucial and very needed. So I was like, oh my gosh, thank you. Yes. And they gave me 10 points less interest too. It was just like a no-brainer situation when I did it. But the guy, you know, and when he was setting me up and told me I was approved, he was like, yeah, well, you can go for like a 5-year term on it. And he was like, but don't do that. He's like, take it, but don't do that. He's like, keep paying close to the amount that you've been paying, but you're going to save so much in interest and shit. And I was like, yeah. But I just kept it at that really much lower payment. And then the next thing I knew, it was like, fuck, dude. And I remember I was talking to my dad because it was just like, I could just pay this shit off now. You know what I'm saying? It was down to the last year. Like if I would have just kept paying the monthly payment for another year, that's where I was. And it was like, or because this payment is so fucking low every month, I could just get my cash together and just pay off this upcoming year right now. And my daddy was like, you know what? I think I'd probably do that. He's like, you have definitely done your due diligence on paying on this car. So I went ahead and I just paid it off because that could have been happened like, you know, 10 minutes before that. So then now I was sitting here though, and this is where I had needed to get to, because the only way that I was ever really going to, by this point of responsibility and shit, the only way that I was going to be able to get to buying this Mustang is that I needed to have the practical SUV. There we go. I'm back to that practical, right? Like I started out with an Escort because I couldn't handle the Mustang right away. And then it got to the place where it's like, all right, I'm getting more grown and shit. And the only way that I can have a Mustang is it has to be my second car, right? Like that cannot be the only car that I rely on. That's not practical. So now though, it was like, all right, my first baby is paid off. She's in great shape. I've taken the best care of my baby. She is in pristine condition and I paid on her for 10 years. And I didn't need to do that, but she's great. And now she's paid for it. And so it was like, now it's time to start looking for this Mustang. So I went on a nationwide search because I wanted what I wanted. And I didn't give a fuck about getting a ticket and flying out and driving it back somewhere. I wanted the specs on it that I wanted. Because by this point in time, it has been 20 years, right? That I've been wanting this bad bitch. And I want a bad bitch version of it. So I would put in all of my specs and I was making this like nearly impossible. I was putting in my top of the line specs that I wanted. And then I was also like, and I want to cap it at this much money too. I ain't trying to finance this car for another 10 years. You know what I mean? Like, this is my second car. But at that, I want it to be what I want it to be. So, and I was looking around the country, every state in the country that sold these. And I would find little, nothing was, you know, rocking my boat. Floating my boat, finding my lost remote. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just was, ugh, you know? And so it took me 4 months because I paid off my car in January and I just would get home. So about like I'm doing this podcast right now, I would come and looking for Marvin Gaye images, I would come and I would look for Mustang images around the country. It took me a long time. Finally, there was just nothing that was coming through, and I gave it up for about a month, I would say. Probably about the month of March, I let it go. And then towards the end of March, I started looking at it again. And finally, one time, here in my own state, instead of any of the 50 others, I did one little thing. I just upped my price range by only $1,000, and then boom, sitting there. Was a picture of my baby, but I love the picture of my baby because my baby looked more purplish. She looked kind of purple. And that was pretty much a deal breaker because that was not in the parameters. But every single other feature about my baby was just like, oh my gosh. So I reached out to the dealership. I just was like, it's only $1,000 outside of the cap that I had thought I had said. That was just an arbitrary thing. I reached out and the man was very nonchalant. He was a brother and he was just very nonchalant. Like, he was like, oh yeah, I'll try and get in touch with you sometime later this week or whatever. And so I think he really played me because that made me kind of sweat him a little bit because I was like, excuse me. I want to know about this car. You know what I mean? So I kind of really had to be the one like salesman pitching him. Just to like, excuse me, are you that busy? Do you have some time this week where I could come over, you know, and take a look at it? And so we set up a time but then it was just so many different factors. It was like, oh, don't take on another, you know, just all of these practical things in my mind. And it was the color of the car. And so then the day for this appointment came and I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. You don't need to acquire a car right now. You don't need the payment. Just like live life for a little bit without a car payment. You've had one for the past 10 years that you didn't need to have. And so the day of and like a couple hours before, I called that dude and I was like, yeah, I changed my mind. I'm not going to come and take a look at it. And he was so nonchalant. He was like, okay, cool. That's cool. Thanks. Keep this in mind if you ever want to, you know, look for something again. And he was done. Couple hours later I get a call and this guy says that he was that dude's supervisor. And he was like, yeah, I was just talking to him. And he said that you know, changed your mind. You didn't even want to come down and look at it. He's like, I'd like it if you wouldn't mind. He was like, if you would just maybe want to come down and take a look at it, just take a look. And I was like, no, see, this dude, he was talking to me, right? And I was like, he was like, yeah, there'd be no pressure. But he was like, I would just like you to take a look at it. He's like, it's a great deal. And, you know, I don't expect it to be here long. That's the only thing. You know, if you would want it, I don't think if you took a lot of time that it will be here long. So I was like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to go take one look at it because I knew this. And this was how I was like, if I go down there and I take a look at that thing and it's the color that it looked like in the picture, it's a done deal. I'm not doing that. So that was going to be it for me. It's like, it doesn't hurt to go look and I should go look and confirm that. So I get down there and this was a luxury dealership too, dude. I mean, I walked in there. Please believe me, people. Like this, my papa brought this together for me. I wouldn't have been buying any other car in that dealership. Do you know what I mean? Okay. So, and this is a story. They said an older dude turned this in. He traded it in because he said he got tired of rolling out of his car. And so he traded it in for something so much more practical. So this was not normally a car that these people had at this dealership. It wasn't a Ford dealership. It was a luxury car dealership. So, I go in, I'm looking for this dude and he finally comes down. It was like this, just a weird, it didn't look like a car dealership at all. It looked like an office building. And so he came from like an upstairs, like we went up some stairs and I was like, where the fuck are we going? And he was like, oh yeah. He's like, I got the car pulled out. It's up here. And so we went up these stairs And it was like inside of an office building. And then when we got up to the second floor, it walked out a little bit and then it was out onto a landing and it was like an inside parking garage and there was the car sitting there and I saw it. And then I was like, oh my God. And we kept getting up closer to it and it was like, oh my God, it's not the color that it looks like in the picture. It's fucking candy red with like the sparkles in it. Oh my God. And then we drove it. I was trying to play it so cool though, dude. This dude couldn't even tell if I even was like, had like a half of a breath change in my pulse. And we were driving it. Oh my God. And then I was just like trying to play it so cool. And I was still, and then I couldn't, and I just told him, I was like, okay, I'm going to get it. He was like, he had no idea. Just that came out of nowhere. He was like, really? He was like, oh, okay. I was like, yeah. My papa provided, came up, curated, delivered to my state the car that had every specs I didn't even ask for. Oh my gosh. If you guys ever would have a chance to see a baddest bitch, this thing does things that I didn't even know that they made Mustangs like this. So, yeah, I'm so sorry that this took so much time for me to talk about, but it was in honor of my papa. It's in honor of the Mustang that I was able to land on getting. And it's just because I just got out of it because I was just driving to refresh on I Want You, but it's, you know, it's not really necessary. I want you. Okay. I was thinking this though. I just remembered this. I was 16. Okay. So now I had this little Ford Escort and every day I would take my sister to school. That was a part of the responsibility that came along for me having my car is I needed to, take my sister to school every morning and pick her up from school every day. And so we would drive back and forth. And by this time that I'm 16 now and we're driving every day in the Escort, could have been a Mustang, but I insisted that it be an Escort. We would listen to I Want You. And I want to just clarify one little thing that I said in a previous episode about how we would be cleaning the house on the weekends, that I would be playing I Want You, and how that one song on there, I didn't ever really, I think this is the way that that happened, right? Cause after I was like, is that kind of creepy? Did that sound weird? And it did. It sounded weird. But the way that that happened is that nobody was paying attention to it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I had already explained to you guys the way my parents were pretty much checked out on the music that we would be listening to in the house. They would let us hijack the stereo, but they weren't paying attention to one note. You know what I'm saying? Like if it was something completely vulgar, of course, then they would, you know, turn it off. But they were not sitting there like they just, I think like said this before, for their own sanity, they needed to kind of zone out on whatever it was that we were playing. Like they weren't really paying attention to it. And especially like when we would be cleaning and you're walking around the house and you're just like kind of in the zone, this music, that particular song that I was talking about, Feel All My Love Inside, it cycles, right? Like it's not the whole entire time just only about that. So that's the way that that was able to happen is that, you know, and like I said, I was so young coming into it. I was like, so it even took me a couple of seconds, but yeah, I just needed to clarify that. But my sister and I would listen to the disc every day driving back and forth from school. And one of my very favorite songs on the album is Come Live With Me, Angel. But the way that I would always do that with my little sister in the car is we would listen to Come Live With Me, Angel, until it would get to the part. And then I'd fast forward through that. And I would know like where that part kind of ended. And then the music just kind of came back on again and I would start it right there. So, and then we never listened to song number four, you know, like my little sister was in first and second grade when I was driving her every day in this little car back and forth. So, but I Want You. Let's talk about the song I Want You. There's this one line in it, which is the song for life and love. This is how I go about love and life and love. It is, don't play with something that you should cherish for life. The end. This could be the end of the episode right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is it. You can live your rest of your life by that. And that is it. Marvin, it's that is it. And I just think that in this day and age, people that are not associated, you know what I'm saying, right now. So myself, right? You struggle so much with coming across other people that have any kind of sense to the simplicity of that sentence. In this day and age, I do not... These times right now, these are end times right now for life and love. I have been, you know, in the game for 20 years. And I will say the game that it is right now is not the game that I even was in 20 years ago in life and love. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm serious, to come across a younger, of course, man. And he don't need to be younger than me, but damn, you know what I'm saying? Like, just the, not somebody of Marvin's generation that has some full on sense about not playing with something that you should cherish for life. you know what I mean? And so, but that is really, really what it is, people. Don't do that. You know what I mean? Why do you even need to do that? And so that song is an interesting song to me because it's just like, seriously, Marvin? Okay, so we definitely know, and I will, as I'm going to do further episodes on further songs of this album, I'm going to, you know, pull up the research of the co-writing process and all of this. But here's what I'm going to spout off from remembering, right? Leon Ware, I know that he was kind of basically working on the entire album himself first. And I think that he maybe even had a thought process of wanting to sing the songs himself. And I know that there are versions of the songs where Leon Ware did sing the songs. I think, you know, like as the demos to get him in front of Marvin and get Marvin signed on to the project. And I know that also a co-producer on that album is Diana Ross's brother. Is it T-Boy Ross? So, you know, and yeah, I was about to spout off another little statistic about the album that I've always come across, but that's in the category of salacious, so we're not going there. But yeah, it was just that. Okay, so we're fast forwarding, right? We are in a different, we have gone the long time ahead into Marvin's catalog. And this is feeling a little weird to me. Like I said, just how I've kind of lately been changing my own just intake of Marvin. But yeah, when I was this age, because the album had always been chilling right there on the entertainment center, it was one of the handful of albums that we had. So, you know, it went from What's Going On, a deep study of it, really getting really good and familiar with Marvin. But that is a total element of Marvin, right? And then we go from that into another totally separate element of Marvin. And this album is that entire element of Marvin. And so here's a little thing. And I've been racking my brain on like how to say this, but you know, it's like, okay. So as I'm Googling stuff, I'm looking for images of Marvin actually. And I was looking for images of Marvin and I had found a whole bunch and I was scrolling through a page and then something popped up that was like a little Instagram post or something. And it was really odd. And so I clicked on it because I was like, what the hell is this in the middle of some Marvin Gaye posts? And then it was like this little exchange between some very prissy, proper, don't be offended, white people. Okay. And, it was somebody saying, hey, I've never heard, the album, I Want You. And something to the effect, is it filth like other of Marvin Gaye's songs? And then whoever responded, oh yeah, it's even worse. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I know the song that they were talking about. Is it filth like Sexual Healing? And then this, whoever responded, oh yeah, it's even worse. And I'm like, oh my gosh, people. Okay. If you are going to have that type of a little exchange about, you know, the music of Marvin Gaye, then you can't listen to this album. Don't do that. You're not going to want to listen to this album. So here is all I'm going to say about this though. You know, it's like, ooh, don't have that attitude about this album and Marvin's music. Don't you get it in when you get it in? It's like, I'm sorry. So that's just, I mean, damn. Don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at Marvin. Like, some people get it in when they get it in. You know what I mean? And So, you know, you ain't gotta be judging me because I get it in when I get it in. You know what I mean? And so, there's that, you know, and so if you don't do that when you do that, then don't listen to this album. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just, that's all you have to do. Because you don't need to go around talking shit about it like that. You know what I'm saying? Some people, when they get it in, they get it in. That's just what that's how they go about doing that. So it's like, you know, and don't be mad. Like, or just change what you are doing. You know what I'm saying? So, the album is, I don't know. I struggle. It's in some ways, like, I kind of always do struggle with this particular song because it's almost unbelievable. And that's where I got off into that conversation though, about how really I do believe that what I've read so far, just that I'm totally recounting this right now, but this is my length of knowledge of this album, is that it was Leon Ware's baby, right? It was Leon Ware's, brainchild, or, you know, just, it came from him. And then Marvin came on board, you know what I mean? And then, you know, it's just about at this stage in Marvin's career and at this stage of Marvin's producing his own music of his career, this is albums deep into Marvin producing his records at this point. And, you know, let's even just continue on this vein. Like, by this point in time, I know that the contracts and the deals that he had negotiated for himself with Motown was that he had complete and total freedom to say whatever he wanted to say on his albums. I do remember reading that in Jan's biography in the chapter on Hawaii when I was trying to just glean some factual information from that. And at that point, they were about at the Hear My Dear phase, and you know, I think she was almost even reminding him that he had the full control and freedom to say whatever he wanted on record, and she was like reminding of him of that, and he was like, yeah, he's like, you know what, you're right. And so when the first time that he kind of made that clear to her was making this album, I Want You, and specifically on the Where is this song? Well, you know, there's a very, it leaves nothing to the imagination line that he says, but he says it in taste, you know what I mean? And she said to him, she was like, Marvin, you can't say that. And then he just very plainly said to her, he's like, I can say whatever I want in my music. And she was just like, oh, okay. Well, you know what I mean? Like, she didn't, okay. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I would say this album, you know, they're just going in. They're going in, and it's definitely a story, album. And so as I was reading my story, I guess, like how I told you, I wrote this story and I was about 4 or 5 pages into it. I can tell I was deeply starting to get into this album and into this song, I Want You. Okay, let me tell you why I struggle with it. This song is so much I Want You. You know what I mean? It's unrequited love. And it's like, Marvin, like, That's the reason why it's like, it's not believable. And especially for me right now, like how much searching of images that I have done of Marvin lately. Oh my God. it's not believable. You know what I mean? But that just goes to show when it comes to love and life, dude, you know, right now, something is on my mind of current day topics and a, you know, huge star and her husband and even they, you know what I mean? So it's, nobody is, that's the thing. I guess that's the thing, right? That just makes us all connected in that way. Like even fame and stuff doesn't spare you from the trials and the, you know, the journey of love and life, dude. What can happen to me could actually happen to people on this level too, right? They're not exempt from it. So yeah, you look at the eye candy, nice big chunk of it that Marvin was. And it's like him singing a song about, you know, in one way love. It's like, but Marvin, not you though. You're not. But there is something about the way that he is singing this song anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think that there really is any part of this album that really makes me feel like Marvin is singing someone else's written song. You know what I'm saying? Which is the reason why, like, I just struggle with the song, though, because it's like, oh. It just to, like, who would do this to Marvin? You know what I'm saying? I think, like, that's where I kind of come from. It's like, who would do this to Marvin? But so that part of it is the struggle for me because it's just like, come on. And then I'm going to go a little bit further. It's like when you have the context of his life right at that point too, is that he was with Janice at that point in time. And so it's, you know, I'm going to speak for the collective fan base. It's like, you know, I go a step further and I'm like, did Janice put Marvin through shit like this? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it just does make you wonder, right? It does make you wonder, where is the line where it's real life and it's songwriting, right? Like, where is, because that's the thing with Marvin. It's real, real hard to distinguish that, especially by this phase in his artistry, right? Because he delivers a message in a way where, I'm sorry, Marvin, like, now I'm mad at your wife. Because I'm like, Marvin, how are you singing a song like this? Who did this to you? It's like, you know, oh my gosh. So, you know, I think it's, you know, very unfair to think that that's all about, you know, autobiographical, that moment in time, that was what he was suffering from Janice. Like, that's not fair to think that, but that is possible to think that because of how convincingly Marvin delivers this entire album, right? And it is, it's a full arced story. It goes from start to finish. I told you he's opening up with I Want You, and then he's, I'm walking out of here with you, baby. You know, he worked it out, but he went around the world in that album to do it. So, yeah, this album has always just been, it's not living vicariously for me. And I'm going to leave it at that. You know, I will say this, that element of things, how in each episode, I will recount the music and life experiences tied to it. I was thinking so hard about this today. And it's like, as we're going to go further into discussing this album, I am not going to deep dive, detail, divulge about the life experiences tied to this shit at all, because you get to a place where you sometimes have to ask yourself a question of, is it worth it? And I'm going to give you the example of what I mean by that. It was last year sometime, or maybe was it this year? Gosh, we're into October already, where Vivica Fox came out and she was just kind of freshly resharing on the Wendy Show and making her rounds. Her relationship from a long, long time past with, you know, and she was sharing her side of that situation, and she was just speaking her truth and giving her take on her truth, you know, it's her life. But the only thing that, you know, and this is where I'm at, and this is a question I'm asking myself, is it worth it? It's like, yeah, your truth is your truth, and you just have to have the right context that you would be speaking your truth in. You know what I'm saying? There, it's, if the context is correct, it's, you know, worth it to speak your truth, because you would just need to know, like, what are you focusing on? Why are you speaking your truth? What point are you making about your truth? What are you trying to share for someone else's benefit about your truth? If I was going to share deep details about my truth, it would be for the purpose and the benefit that I would want to share with somebody about, heal yourself from young childhood wounds, that are setting an example for you of, this is what the lack that you have a right to expect to receive in a love relationship with a man. If I was gonna deep dive, divulge details about my previous shit, that would be the reason and the context and the type of, so we would be needing to have like a healing conversation, right? And a life lessons learned conversation. But there is no fucking way that I would deep dive, divulge details about my previous love life tied to songs on the Marvin Gaye album to at all this many years later give that motherfucker any type of an ego boost right now. Like, ooh, somebody still needed to be talking about that shit this many years later. Cause look at how that, ooh, I almost used the word that I'm going to always try and avoid on this show. that I am always allowed to say because it's my people. But you can't if you can't. You know what I'm saying? So I don't need to say it if you can't. Just because I don't want to, you know, you don't say that if you can't say it. But that, how he reacted to Vivica speaking up and how he just dogged her and played her out and really just drove home the point. This many years later, you still gotta be talking about that. And it's like, don't. So don't ever give some like that an opportunity to walk around with his little chest puffed out because you're speaking your truth about your situation with him. Okay. So yeah. Asking the question, is it worth it, that if I would deep dive, divulge the details of my love life associated to, you know, the album of I Want You and just how, yeah, no, it's not worth it. He ain't worth it. He don't get that type of stuff from me anymore. So if we were needing to have a healing conversation and there could be some benefit that I could help you to receive through sharing the details of my stuff, coming from, don't approach love and life from an unhealed perspective that I approached love and life when I very first approached it, then I'd be happy to, because there would be no, you know, there'd be no ego boost associated with, yes, MF motherfucker, I'll give the details of what happened between me and you, but who are you? You know what I'm saying? You should not be having a puffed chest after I would go there. Okay. So, just based on that has to be the end result. Yeah. I will not be able to, you know, I am what Luda talks about. I'm a lady in the street and then the other side too. And I think that's tied to my sign. You know, we're a little low key, but don't get it twisted. So, you know, lady in the streets, lady in the streets. So I'm going to keep it that way. But yeah, I go back to the, and this is for life. You live your life by do not play with something that you should cherish for life. And that's the thing. It's like, I just unfortunately, who doesn't have the sense in this day and age anymore to be able to make that discernment of what you should cherish for life? I just think that we're living in times where people don't have the sense to discern what you should cherish for life. You know, there's too lack and lax of an attitude toward all of that. And, you know, it's just, it's sad, but it's a representation of, ugh, you know, I think it's gotten here. I think this is a place that, you know, the planet has evolved to. That's what I really love about my black and white movies, people. Oh my gosh, a little pure love story from those times, right? It's like people will just settle down. They had families, they had babies, they were my grandparents. you know, and they knew how to set out to relate to people, to be in a relatable ship with people. You know, we're going to relationship. We're doing that though. Like, we're actually going to do a relationship, because doing a relationship is a thing. You know, that is a thing. I am single now so long. I don't relationship. You know what I mean? And that's a very healthy thing for me right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, what I was thinking about earlier today too, when I was just asking that question, is it worth it? And it's like, fuck no, it's not worth it, because he's not worth it. And he don't need to think that he is. So, but then it was like, the only way that I have the time and the capacity to do this podcast and just do my own thing is because of the way that I go about my love and life. You know what I'm saying? I go hard. I go encompassing. I go completely. I go long and deep up into it. I'm in it to win it. And if I had a man, I wouldn't have time to be putting in to this project. And I am having the time of my life putting into this project right now. So it's just like, ain't nobody got time for that. Because when I do that, I do that, you know, so no, but I just, like, in this day and age, you know, been there, done that is where I'm coming from. But in this day and age, it's kind of really easy. So been there, done that, but I just leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? Leave it at that. I've had that. I've had my fill and a full supply of that. And it is, it's kind of, there's a line in a song too of Marvin's, is that enough to last you a lifetime? Yes, please. Okay. It is. In every single way, you know, been there, done that. So it's like, I went in it. I was trying to win it. I had a pure heart about it. I didn't fuck anybody over in it. As far as just like what my intentions were and shit. And so been there, done that. But there's enough, I think, of like the younger of this time right now, that just doing a relationship isn't even, it's not what they set out to do. That's what I'm saying. Like, cherishing something. Isn't that what Marvin says too? To cherish precious, pure, and fair. You know, it's like where there's not the emphasis being taught kind of widely and just generally among people that are out in the quote unquote game nowadays. You know what I'm saying? Just if you're, did I say it in the beginning? Like, if you're not associated, right? Like, if you're not associated with somebody, it's just real, real scary out here. I was listening to something about that lately where they were just like, it is really scary out here trying to, you know, just put yourself out in this day and age, because it is like, what is really going on right now? Oh, no. You know what I'm saying? Like, I cannot even. And it's just like you're coming across such fractured people who not playing with something that they should cherish for life. It's they don't even have a propensity for viewing love as something to be cherished for life. You know, music, even, of course, everybody talks about how Marvin, right? The music of Marvin. And they, you know, they don't always just say the music of Marvin. Of course, I'm saying the music of Marvin, but Marvin was the pinnacle. And it's just like music of that time, music of that message, right? Music of that message, which if you're conveying that message, you're not hoes this and hoes that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I think if you have that message in you, you have that message in you. That's not to say you wouldn't ever, you know, live life, but there's something more in you than hoes this and hoes that. So, yeah, just again, love and life. Don't play with it. Don't play with it. It's just, you don't need to do that. The repercussions, right? It's just, it's not worth it. I think that's the thing. It's not worth it. I think, you know, if you don't play with something that you should cherish for life and you give it that good old college try and you go at it correctly, you go out at it with a pure heart, which is where I went at it from. I was fresh off of only this album to get me through those teenage years. It wasn't no bump and grind and all of that shit and hose this and hose that. Like, I wasn't being infiltrated with that. So I was coming purely off of, you know, do cherish precious, pure and fair. Don't play with something that you should cherish for life. Isn't it lonely out there? You know what I'm saying? Don't you want to care? Isn't it lonely out there? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is all, and it's, and the man is saying that. So it's just like, I'm like, hi. And oh my gosh, like, yeah. But here's the thing, you know, if you go at that, you put yourself out there, you did it a try, you were pure, you were cherishing it, you were not playing with it, you were, you know, cherishing it for life. And if you don't win it, oh fucking well, you know what I'm saying? You can been there, done that. Is it enough to last you a lifetime? You know, if your own salvation and kind of your own source for yourself and prioritizing love of yourself and respect of yourself and taking care of yourself, yeah, dude, I am good to go for a lifetime. I'm good to go for a lifetime, you know? At this point, you know what I'm saying? It's like the only thing that is going to be worth it is, you know, I need somebody to know. I need somebody to tell me. I do. I need the man to be singing this song from Marvin's perspective. Not because I would be fucking him over and putting him through the first parts of the song. Like, that's, it's like, I don't like the parts of the song where Marvin's singing about, you don't want me now. Like, what? That's why I go back to, like, Marvin, who did this to you? This is not okay. So I don't need anybody coming at me like that. I don't put people through that. But I need somebody to just be, like, knowing to don't play with something that you should cherish for life. You get to a place where it's like, you know what? If I can't sense from you that you have the sense, it's not worth my time, dude. That's, I just think that as we get real good and grown and you get a little bit more consciousness about, you know, your own
psyche and your own, you know, being. And you just kind of want to heal and be in a good, healthy place. You get these boundaries, dude, where it's just, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just, I don't have time. I'm going to give you one little anecdote. So too soon after the last catastrophe, and I had just started to tap into, you know, these healing resources that I have been able to just, you know, get it all of that language I was using before. You know, you need to heal instilled mindsets that lead you to believe expecting lack and expecting nothing more is realistic. You know, I was starting to embrace a healing away from that. And, but not, it's not ingrained and running through and through in me yet. So, damn, why is he so fine? This little boy at the Starbucks drive-thru up my street that I always go to. Why is he flirting with me? Why is he so damn fine? But I mean, like, why is he just like making me need to look at him and giving me the drinks for free and shit? And it's just like, oh, young man. Oh, it is enough to last a lifetime. It is enough to last a lifetime. Because, you know, when you get good and grown, life has got to be about more than just that, you know, and that's when, okay, I'm going to go back to what I just said. And this is kind of another context of the album. It's back to kind of the context of the album. And I will just restate what I stated again. Do you get it in when you get it? I mean, so been there, done that, enough to last a lifetime. I am not living vicariously. I don't need to been there, done that. And so, you know, I'm talking about when you get it in, been there, done that. You know what? If you come on, guys, life can't just only be about that. So this young man on the window, it is enough to last a lifetime. It is enough to last a lifetime, because at this point in time, you fine little motherfucker, I don't have a strong predominant impression, vibration coming off of you right now. Good gosh, let me catch my breath again. You know what I'm saying? That you have a sense to know to don't play with something that you should cherish for life. And I just don't have the time. I don't have the time for that anymore. That is enough to last a lifetime. The experiences of just associating, trying to associate with people that don't have the sense about that. Yeah, I don't have the time for it anymore. So, enough to last a lifetime. You know what I'm saying? Because come on, you gotta just want to be about sense more than that. You know what I'm saying? This goes back to an episode before that, what I was telling you. When, out of blue, I'm listening to Marvin Gaye at the end of his concert live in Montreux, where he is closing it out with What's Going On. And all of a sudden, at the end of the song, he starts to speak to the audience. And he starts to ask them what is really going on. And I've often asked myself that question. And he goes into more than 4 minutes of explaining his purpose, but, and then he said everybody's purpose, but he ain't trying to force that down your throat. But Marvin's sensibility, Marvin's sense, Marvin's wavelengths, Marvin's words that he is going to speak that are coming out of him, that is the only type of shit that I have time for in the rest of life now. That the stage that I'm at, people, and I can definitely, it is a 100% different stage than I was at in my 20s, when my life was my story, where I Want You was the soundtrack to it.
You have nothing but time at that point. You have a mindset that you have nothing but time at that point. And you have years to give into some bullshit. Because you're in it to win it and you have pure intentions and you are trying to cherish something and you're hoping that it's going to turn out for the good. And it just might not. And you know what? That could be your blessing. But you get to the place where it's for the rest of your life. And you're looking at that. You can see that. You know, that's like a tunnel now. And there's a light at the end of that. But you know what that is? That's the end of this life. And so it's like for the rest of this life, I don't have time for this shit. I don't have time for it. You know, been there, done that, and it is enough. You know what I mean? It could be exciting and it could be fun, but if I don't have a vibration coming off of you as strong as the other one, yeah, I don't have time. Because I'm, you know, putting number one first, dude. I'm looking out for number one. That is woo, you know. You gotta woo me, you gotta vibe to me, you gotta overwhelm me with some talking about God's purpose for yourself, and you know, just you gotta come at me with some Marvin Gaye, dude. You know what I'm saying? And unless, no, I'm good. I'm totally good. Alrighty. Yeah, this song for me, I'm telling you, this ain't sex, it's life and love. That's all that this song, and especially, you know, more now, but it started out, it formed my, perspective of what I have been in search of. And, you know, 20 years ago, I had a decade to devote to the word that I said only I can say and only you can say if you can say it. And if you can't say it, don't you ever say that. Okay. But I had like a decade to devote to them. And, you know, then you don't anymore. But then that song too changes to where it's like, I'm sorry. The only line that I hear in there that we need to talk about is, don't play with something that you should cherish for life. Love you. Listen to it. And I'll be hitting you up with future songs on this album. Bye-bye.
Well, friends, that's it for this episode. Did we have fun? I had fun. Subscribe to our show so you never miss the enduring gifts of Marvin Gaye. And we're excited to announce that you can follow us on Pinterest at our page, pinterest.com/MarvinGaye_enduring_gifts. There, you can see our gorgeous picture boards for each podcast episode, among many others. These boards are full of images of Marvin capturing key moments from each episode. We're making this a listening and viewing experience for you. So until next time, thank you for listening.